Please join me in this morning's Bible reading. It will be taken from Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26 through verse 31. That's Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26 through 31. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Arise and go southward on the road from Jerusalem to the abandoned Gaza." And he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian palace officer, the treasurer for Candace, Ethiopia's queen. The officer had been to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. As he rode in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join yourself to this chariot." Philip ran and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "Indeed, how can I unless someone guides me?"
Well, good morning. It's always a blessing to have the opportunity to come together to worship God. And always a pleasure to have the opportunity to stand in the stead of Eric because he does a great job. But it's also can be nerve-wracking because, again, what I'm going to talk about this morning is how valuable God's Word is and how important it is to teach God's Word. And as a result, that can be, well, scary because we hold within our hands in the Bible something that is so valuable that we need to make sure that we're handling it appropriately. You know, the sign of a good church secretary is when you come and you look at the front of the bulletin and it's about what you're going to preach about, and we didn't even talk about it. So when I was teaching the middle school this morning, I said, "Hey, let's look at the bulletin." We always do, to kind of look at prayer requests and things. And now that I'm thinking about it, that's how I do teaching. We started talking about this. I don't even think I ever took prayer requests. Sorry, class. But I realized, because we jumped right into this, and I said, why do we come to Bible class? Because that's what this is about. And so I said, turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. That's what I want you to do. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 is going to say, if you don't do something in particular, you are a fool. I don't think there are many of you, like I told the middle schoolers this morning, if I walked up to you and said, "Hey, you know, nice to meet you, who are you?" that they would say, "I'm a fool." But I work with enough students who do seem to despise wisdom and instruction, which is what you're reading there in Proverbs 1:7, if you've gotten there. And those who despise it are fools. We should want to learn. We should want to learn. Secular learning, important. Learning God, even more important. But we should want to learn. We should never stop learning. We should be perpetual learners throughout our lives. And so I was glad to see this on the front of the bulletin this morning, because I do want to talk about something this morning that is near and dear to my heart and something that I have a great passion for, which is teaching. And granted, I'm a little biased, being that that is my job secularly, is to be a teacher. And I would say it's the greatest job there is. And you might say, well, here you are preaching, you're talking about how important God's Word is. Well, guess what preachers do? They teach. And so teaching, preaching, is the most important job to me. I want to go ahead and make an announcement. As a deacon, one of my responsibilities, or my main responsibility, is over Bible school and curriculum and instruction. For adult teachers, which would obviously be males, because we know what Scripture teaches about teaching those who are believers and that are Christians, need to be males, there will be a Bible school adult teaching meeting on May 15th. I've talked to several of you individually. It's in the bulletin. But on May 15th, that is our early service, but we will meet between the a.m. and the p.m. service during that lunchtime. And I will feed you information about teaching and about what we're doing here at Avondale with our curriculum, and we will feed you physically with some food as well. So make plans if you have any desire, men, to teach middle school, high school, or in our adult classes, because teaching is the best job that you can have. In the secular world of teaching, I teach in Gwinnett County, one of the largest school systems in our nation. More and more in my 17 years, I guess, now of teaching, they're talking more and more about it as a business, which I don't think that's a good thing. Because in a business, I don't know what jobs all of you do, but in most businesses, if you're getting parts to make your product and they're not good parts, what do you do with them? You send them back. We don't want these parts. We're going to find a different supplier, a different manufacturer. We don't get that at the school. There are certain kids, when they come into my classroom, no, you go on back home. I don't want to deal with you. We don't get to do that, all right? And so we've got to teach what we get. It's not like a business where you can send the parts home. And so we need to understand, too, in the church, we don't know who's going to come through the doors. And we are to be about teaching everyone. We've called it the Great Commission, and it is great because teaching is great. Teaching God's Word is great. But what we got to understand about teaching is not everybody's going to want to listen. And Scripture talks about that. Hey, if you go somewhere, somebody don't want to listen to you, I think it's Matthew 10:14, shake the dust off your feet and move on down the road. And also, we're told, parable of the sower, there's going to be different soils. You may have some that goes to the wayside, not going to take root there. You got some that's going to fall on the thorny ground, some that's going to fall on the stony ground. Those aren't going to be successful, but ultimately there is going to be some good soil. And we know that through that parable there in Matthew 13. Also in the book of Matthew, Christ tells us there's a broad gate that leads where? Destruction. And a narrow gate. We know we're not going to get as many on that narrow path, but we still need to be teaching. It's not a reason not to teach. So teaching is awesome. Teaching is great. I know I've said this before from the pulpit. Edgar Hoover, I believe is his name, used to be an FBI director. And he said, crime is not going to be solved with the electric chair. Crime is going to be solved with the high chair. We need to teach early to keep people on the right path, to get them going the right way. And so teaching from here all the way up is important. Because a lot of our adults, some of you sitting in here, you were a baby just maybe even a few weeks ago. If you're a new Christian, you're a babe in Christ. And we need to teach you the way that we worship, the way that we study, the way that we need to teach you how to teach now that you are a Christian and to teach. You've got things to learn, but we also, of course, need to teach our young people as well. In Scripture, we're called a lot of things once we become baptized believers. That's one of them. We're called believers. We're called Christians. We're called imitators of God. We're called saints. We're called the friends of God. We're called slaves or bondservants of Christ. We're called brothers. We're brethren once we become Christians. We're sheep following that one great shepherd, John 10. We're children of God. We're children of light. We're imitators of God. We're soldiers. We can go on and on, but one of the things we are, we're teachers. Whether you realize that's what you signed on for or not, you are a teacher. Moms, you're teachers. You're teachers at home. In fact, in that book of Proverbs, if you go a little further, after 1:7, it goes down and say, so your dad will be proud of you, and so that you will not forsake the wise teachings of your mother. Moms and dads, you're teachers. And I don't think that's a surprise to you, but as Christians, we are teachers. The virtuous wife there in Proverbs 31 talks about her wise sayings. I believe it's Proverbs 31:26. She's a teacher. Older people in the congregation, you're teachers. For those younger people, young people, you're teachers. Timothy is admonished, and you are too. Don't let anybody despise your youth, but be an example. And being an example, being a guide, it's like being a die. Being an example and instructing through the way that you live. As you go through Scripture, all those things I said, you're also called salt. You're also called light. You're also called epistles, not written on tablets of stone, but written on tablets of flesh. You are those things. You may be thinking, I don't want to get up and do what you're doing. I don't want to get in front of a lot of people. You don't have to. Those examples of teaching are teaching by example. Teaching by example is huge. You've probably heard the saying, your actions speak so loudly, I can't even hear what you're saying. You don't always have to speak in words. And you can teach. You've also probably heard the best sermon isn't the one not preached, but the one that is lived. So all of you are teachers when you become Christians. And again, whether you want to get in front of one of the classrooms we have here at Avondale or not, you are a teacher. We have the best treasure of all to share, and that is the gospel. The way that we can get back to God, the way we can get our name written in that book of life, we want to teach other people how to do that. The Ethiopian eunuch didn't know how. And right there where Bill stopped reading, they said, do you understand what you're learning here, what you're reading? And what's he say? How can I unless someone guides me? We could fill in the word, unless someone teaches me. And that's exactly what Philip then does. He teaches him, he gets excited, he rejoices, he's baptized, and he goes on his way rejoicing because he learned. And teaching is awesome, if I haven't told you that already. Being a teacher is great. All kinds of great quotes about teachers. I got several of them here I'm going to share with you. It makes me feel good to read them, all right, as a teacher. And I will do this the rest of the morning. Not really. A child without education is like a bird without wings. Teaching's important. We don't want birds without wings. Can't really go anywhere. We don't want kids without education. Somebody else that I teach a lot is Frederick Douglass, teaching American Lit. And Frederick Douglass, as a slave, he realized the power of education. Boy, some of his quotes are awesome. I don't have any of those here. I know some of them, kind of. He talks about how the power. He says, once you learn to read, man, you have power because you realize there's more out there. You know, and he said, even though I was still a slave as far as in bonds, I would never be a slave once I learned and had education. He would trade physical food with young white children to learn the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, what they were learning in school, because he knew that's valuable and he wanted that education. Teaching and education is huge. A teacher takes a hand, he opens a mind, or it doesn't say he, they open a mind and touch a heart. Teaching God's word is definitely going to touch a heart and a soul. It is the supreme art of a teacher to awaken joy and creative expression and knowledge. A teacher affects eternity. That's true in a secular world in a way, but boy, is it ever true in the teaching of the gospel and the teaching of God's word. It says a teacher affects eternity and can never tell where the influence will stop. And that's absolutely true too. You build a legacy. You teach your children and hopefully they become faithful Christians, and they teach in generation after generation. I remember one time when I stood up here, I talked about Robert Frost. In his poem, Nothing Gold Ever Stays, is his poem, that particular one. And I disagreed. I remember telling you guys that, because to me, just that, if you teach, you know, people Christianity and that continues and continues, where are our souls going to live eternally? In heaven. And that is forever. And boy, is that gold. Is that beautiful. He was obviously talking more physical and this and that. And it is true that all material things will waste away. But boy, the love of Christ and teaching that love and teaching the gospel, that will last all eternity, and that is gold. So I disagree with what Robert Frost says in that poem, because teaching will affect eternity. A good teacher can inspire hope, ignite the imagination, and instill a love of learning. You better love to learn, because if you don't, you despise. You're a fool. Need to love to learn. He who dares to teach must never cease to learn. That's one of the things I want to emphasize to you guys. If you're not sure about getting in one of our classrooms, I'll tell you, I learn more when I'm teaching than I do sometimes sitting as a student, because you got to be prepared. There's some sharp Bible students out here, and you're going to be in front of them. Don't let that scare you. Be humble enough, the Bible teaches that, to say, I'm not real sure. Let's open God's word and learn and find out. Don't be scared. I'll tell you that as a young, well, not as young now, hit that 40 mark, but growing up, since I was 2 years old here at Avondale, when I did become a deacon and I started teaching, you know, classes, and Richard Drummond, they don't attend here anymore, but people like Bill Cook who read up here, they're contemporaries kind of my parents. And I grew up with their kids here and things, and it's like, here I am teaching them now. This is like weird. You know, it's like, are they going to listen to me? And I know they've got, you know, just years of experience and wisdom that come with that I don't have. It was strange. But they've been pretty accepting, and I've taught classes therein, and I've been in classes therein, and it works. Don't be afraid not to know everything, because you don't. Because what did we say earlier? You got to continue to learn. You got to love to learn. So understand, he who dares must never cease to learn. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Y'all have probably heard that before. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we talk about the principles of, you know, loving God with all your heart. And then where do we put that? On the post. And as black, we teach constantly. And again, back to that example. You are constantly teaching, parents. You are constantly teaching. And if we're not, our children are going to be ignorant. Our children are going to be fools. You don't want your children to be foolish, especially when it comes to Christianity, because the world's going to teach them a lot of crazy stuff. If you don't watch it, I'm going to teach them a lot of stuff. The roots of education are bitter, but the fruits are sweet. I touch the future. I teach. To teach is to touch lives forever. A good teacher is like a candle. It consumes itself to light the way for others. In teaching others, we teach ourselves. Teaching is the one profession that creates all other professions. So all of you, you couldn't do what you do without me. That's not humble. I shouldn't have said that. But teaching is one profession that creates all other professions. Better than 1,000 days of diligent study is one day with a great teacher. Teaching and learning is so, so important. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 13. Let's start there. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse 13. Second Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke." If you believe the Bible, what should you do? Speak, teach. That's what you should do. That's what's said here. If you believe the Bible, you should then in turn teach. Here still in the book of 2 Corinthians, same chapter, verse 4. If we go back up to verse 7, I've already kind of mentioned this. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." We've got a great treasure. If you believe it, you should want to speak it. If you believe it, you should want to teach it. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to read a couple passages there. Jeremiah, let's begin in chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20 in verse number 9. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, Jeremiah says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of it," or excuse me, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." If we believe it and it's caught up in us, we should want to again teach and share it. Jeremiah 22, 29, he writes, "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." Again, he wants to shout it. Listen to the word of God. Jeremiah 23, 29, he writes, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" We've got a great treasure, that word of God, that we need to use. If you believe it, you should want to teach it. I hope we can build and find more teachers here at Avondale that will get in our classrooms. But again, when you leave this morning, whether it's that or whether it's out in your daily life, you are a teacher as a Christian, and you should want to share the truths of God's Word. Jesus, of course, came. He was born, and he was born to die ultimately. We know the plan of salvation. He came, he lived, and he died so that that blood could be our way back to God through being cleansed of our sins. But he lived to teach. When you look at Christ's life, he lived to teach. Nicodemus, when he comes to him, he calls him rabbi, which is teacher. He knows that that's what Christ is. He knew that about this man. Rabbi. We also see in Matthew 7, where towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which is all teaching, beginning there in the Beatitudes, he goes up on the mountain, he opened his mouth, and he started to speak or to teach. But there in Matthew 7, 29, it says he taught as one having authority. And again, I've taught up, preached up here before and taught about what would Jesus do and what did Jesus do. He was a teacher perpetually. And guys, you have the same authority, not as deity, and I remember emphasizing that then, but we have the authority of God's Word. We can teach as one having authority. We need to continue to learn, put God's Word in our hearts, and be prepared to teach. And then in John 13, 13, he even says it about himself. He says, "Why do you call me teacher?" People recognize, because God came to be born and to die, Christ came to be born and to ultimately die, but he came to live and to teach. And we talk all the time, Christian, it means to be a follower of Christ. And what we're doing is following his life. One of the things he did perpetually was to teach. And we need to make sure that we're doing just that. We're also called disciples. That's another one of our name, which is a learner, to be a student. And we need to continue to learn of him so that we can then teach. In the book of James, chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1, if you'll turn there with me, it warns us about teaching. It doesn't say don't teach, but it does warn us about teaching. Because y'all know about the Bible. Well, it's said to be sharper than any two-edged sword. We do have the Great Commission. We're told that we must rightly divide the Word. So there are some warnings there that we can do bad things with God's Word if we're not careful. There are those that are false teachers, those that will mislead. So we need to be careful ourselves as teachers. And in James chapter 3, of course, this chapter is very often thought about specifically with the tongue. And when you teach, you do just that. You use the mouth. You speak. And in James 3:1, it reads, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." And then it goes on to talk about the tongue. We do need to be careful how we teach and what we're teaching. I can tell you as the deacon that oversees the curriculum in Bible school, we don't want to put just anyone in our classrooms. We do have you fill out a survey. We do ask questions to make sure we have the right people teaching. The elders want to make sure that's right. And it's a blessing that we worship in a place where we have that. And we need to understand it is something we're warned about, because you will have a stricter judgment when you take on the task of teaching God's Word. But then in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5 and toward the latter part, if you'll turn there with me, Hebrews 5, and in the latter part, and then rolls into chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers." These people have been Christians, these Hebrew Christians, some 30 years, and it says, by this time you ought to be teachers. As Christians, you become teachers, and you should be learning. It goes on to say, but we're having to teach you the elementary principles again. That shouldn't be the case. We should desire wisdom and instruction, and we should learn, and we should grow, and we should then teach. And so while it warns us that we're going to face a stricter judgment, it also says you ought to be teachers once you've grown and you've learned. So I hope that each and every one of you will build that desire, learn to teach, want to teach. And if you're not there yet, still come to our meeting. You can sit in on classes with another teacher. You can co-teach. You can learn from them and build yourself to become a teacher. Because ultimately what all men, and we're talking this meeting specifically about middle school through adults, all men should desire one day, whether you ever take the office, to be an elder, to be a deacon. In those scriptures, and we've seen that recently with the installment of our new deacons, they should be able to teach. And where did that teaching start? Well, at home with their children and on and on. But all men, we should want to teach, and that should be a goal of ours, to build ourselves, to be prepared to teach. And even if it's not here, you need to be teaching in your lives. In the book of Hosea, we're told that the people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We saw that, and God also said that they were in bondage because of their ignorance. We do not want to be ignorant. We don't want to be fools. Those things don't sound good, and I don't think there are any of us that would ever take that appellation upon ourselves as something we are. But if we're not studying, if we're not learning, if you weren't in Bible class this morning, I'm not calling you a fool, not saying you're ignorant, but you should have that desire to want to be here. And you should want, again, to be learning. So I encourage you to be in our Bible classes, because we have good teachers, and we're looking for more. May 15th, again, remember that meeting, men, and come and see if you can't help us in some way. We don't want to be in that bondage of ignorance, but like John 8:32 says, you can know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. We don't want to be in that bondage of ignorance, but we want to be set free from that. We need to understand how important this is. And to be a teacher, you have to live a certain way. Because again, it's not just about what you say, but it's about what you do. And so hopefully you'll think about that in the way that you walk and understand that you are constantly teaching as a Christian. Whether it's being that salt or whether it's being that epistle that's written up on the heart, you are a teacher. And I just wanted to emphasize that this morning. And again, as the one, as a deacon over curriculum Bible school, I also wanted to use this kind of as a public service announcement that we need good teachers. And we need those here at Avondale. We've got them, but we've got to keep growing more and more teachers. Because teachers can get tired. Teachers can burn out a little bit. We need to give them time to rest a little bit as far as being in the classroom. But we need other people that are willing to step up. But do not grow weary in doing that which is good. And teaching is a great, great thing that you can do for God. It's what we're called on to do for God. To teach and to spur on the belief of God being the one true God and His Son being the one that can save us from our sins. Without Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, not sure where that would have gone. But I just love what he says. How can I unless someone guides me? Are you prepared to be that guide? Before you can be that guide, you have to first be one who understands it yourself. And again, we said God sent Jesus to die, but ultimately He sent Him to live and to teach before that and to minister. And through His teaching, we see that He taught to be a loving person, to be a caring person, to be a patient and merciful person. And we need to make sure that we're doing that in our lives as well. And that's what it means to be a Christian. Don't you want to be that? Those of you that aren't a Christian, you may think, well, I have those characteristics. But also, we learned that you have to be baptized to wash away sins because we've all sinned and fallen short. Even though we do good, even though we are good, there may be some of you that think I'm a good person, we've all sinned. In fact, it tells us if we say we do not have sin, that we are liars. We need to understand and humble ourselves to recognize we have sin, but He came to live to be that example of how we should live and ultimately to die. So that you can be forgiven of your sins. And the way to do that is to then repent of those things that you've done wrong. It may be something real, real bad you might think. It may be something small, but again, we've all sinned. Humble yourself and admit those things. Repent of those things and confess Jesus as God's Son, and then ultimately be baptized. And then you got a new job. You are then called on to walk worthy of the life that Christ lived, and the fact that He died for you. And you get to be a saint, a priest, a brother, an heir of Christ. And we could go on and on. And oh yeah, you get to be a teacher. And that's what I'm wanting to hopefully teach you and help you understand this morning, if you didn't understand that before you came. That the only way you can be reconciled back to God is to yield to Him. Through again, hearing and believing that Jesus is God's Son. Confessing that He is God's Son, repenting of your sins, and having those washed away in baptism. Maybe it is that as you've continued to study and learn and sat in classes, the Word of God should convict you. Maybe you've been convicted of sin that's in your lives, even if you are a Christian. And that's great. That means that you still have a tender heart and you want to change those things. If that's a need of yours this morning, that opportunity is open. Because again, looking at Christ's life, He was merciful, He was long-suffering, and He was obedient to the point of death so that we could have that opportunity to be forgiven of those sins. So this morning, while I talked mostly about teaching, I want you to understand that it's also about learning. And I hope you've learned this morning, and maybe God's Word has helped you appreciate that you need to change the way you're living. Maybe you're not a Christian, and you need to put Christ on in baptism and become that Christian that God wants you to be. Or maybe you are a Christian and you've strayed off the path that you know is right, and you've allowed God's Word, maybe His Word teaching you as you've studied, or again, maybe in a classroom you've taught, or from the pulpit you've been taught and learned that you're doing things that are contrary to what He would want. If either of those are your need this morning, we ask that you come forward now as we stand and as we sing for your encouragement.